Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up. I still see your ghost, O Lord. I'm still not sure what I stand for. Oh, what do I stand for? What do I stand for most nights? I don't know anymore. Now, what is behind those powerful indie pop-inspired words? Well, lead singer Nate Roos, of Some Nights fame, Fun is the group, right, would explain that this for this song. He says, I'm always thinking about who am I? And why did I do something like that? And I think then it harkens back to my family, and I have such a strong tie to them, and it's always therapeutic to sing about them. In other words, this song seems to be about being a different person any particular given night of the week. It's about the reality of existential doubt and how it can easily creep into a person's heart. And you know, in the past, I've appreciated this song for its driving beat, its impressive vocals. But lately, this song has just made me think more and more and more about four soils. And about how those four soils receive and relate and then ultimately respond long-term to the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I want you to kind of hear something. Jesus did not just come to offer the forgiveness of sins. Oh yes, that is powerful. Yes, that is life-changing. And yes, that is an open door back into a relationship with Him. Yet Jesus didn't just come to forgive, but He came in order that He might usher in the kingdom of God itself. He came so that the power of God might come into the world and be made manifest, real, relatable, tasteable, touchable, seeable. So that by his power, he might heal the world in every dimension of its brokenness. Remember, since the bite of the forbidden fruit, there have been three main features that have plagued the world. And just for relatability's sake, I'm going to put them into the first person, okay? There is, first of all, this fracture, this brokenness between God and me. Between God and people. Second, there is also this brokenness between other people and me, between people groups. That's why we have wars and conflicts and difficulties. But there is also this fracture between creation and me. Now, please don't think this is an ego thing, okay? For again, I just phrased it this way to try to make it tangible for you on the ground for us. Jesus came so that all those separations might be healed. So that socially, economically, psychologically, mentally, physically, spiritually, and so on, that all these divisions might be healed comprehensively for everybody. And yes, that is a reality we see and experience in the here and now, and it's a blessing we can only see the complete fullness of in heaven. Jesus came to usher in the kingdom, its rule and its reign into our lives. And of course, as we think about such things, I hope some of the next questions that we should be led to ask are questions like, well, then, how do we enter into the kingdom of God? I mean, how do we get in? How do we enter into it? How does it enter into us? Well, this is where Romans 10:17 is really, really helpful. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It comes through listening. Huh. How absolutely strange. So just think for a moment. How do earthly kingdoms most often come into our lives? Well, by trying to exert some sort of power or gain or advantage or force, by giving us dancing bears or by dangling mental candy in front of us, right? They come by a leader getting or gaining a hearing. But how does the kingdom of God come? It comes by giving a hearing. Listening is how it comes. Listening well, listening deep, listening with patience, listening with purpose. So listening is the primary skill of the kingdom of God. Without it, you cannot enter. Without it, you won't enter into life. And without listening, it will not flow through you to others. Faith comes through hearing. The kingdom of God enters in by listening. How humbling. I just have to tell you how this works on me. It comes by listening. Not by sound bites. Not necessarily by picketing. Not by talking up a filibuster. Not by putting on the best show. It comes by listening. By receiving, by understanding and having open hands and ears to take it in. So the power of the kingdom of God is in the seed, it's in the word, it's in the Bible, it's in the good news proclaimed and heard. See, the kingdom comes like a seed. It's not a boulder. It's not a brick. It's not a mountain that smashes. It's not a stick of dynamite that drastically and dramatically changes the entire landscape in seconds. Rather, it is the power of a seed that enters into the heart. And that seed then permeates the whole life. It's a seed that grows steadily by the work of God, spreading and stretching itself further and further and further into a neighborhood or community. It's a mustard seed that becomes a tree. It's a stone that becomes a mountain. It's 12 plus nobodies that translate into a worldwide movement that outlives the most potent civilizations to ever set foot onto the earth. And you know, this throws people off. Even John the Baptist has been led to say, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect another?" And maybe you're led to say, "You know what, I believe, but I'm still hurting or in prison or relationally still in pain. Jesus, are you really the one?" Well, he is, but remember, the seed starts small. It starts vulnerable. It starts weak. It starts as this crazy message you hear about in Sunday school, right? God sent his own son to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. 3 days later, he rises again, and now he gives us the power to live this brand new life. I have to lose myself to find myself. In suffering, I finally find power. In service, I finally find freedom. Really? Well, boulders don't change people long term. They just move money and manpower and motives around. But take this in and understand it. Faith comes through hearing. Not by being a slave, not by being mindlessness. Rather, listen to it, hear it, study it, take it in, give it more than just the 15 minutes on Sunday. Even that, right? This kingdom doesn't work like other kingdoms. It comes through weakness. It comes through poverty. It comes through hearing. He who has ears, let him or her hear. So have you heard? See, Jesus' kingdom, I think, is sometimes easy to miss. I mean, I think some people think that they have it. They think they have it all figured out, but they don't. Some people think they're in, but they're not. And you know, this can be disconcerting. See, have you noticed Jesus is always saying to people in his teaching, have you really heard? I mean, have you really thought this out? Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you really get what's happening? Do you really get what his kingdom is about? Or are you simply trying to get him to serve your kingdom? Have you really heard? And as you think about that, in the parable that's before us today, Jesus presents us, well, three ways to kind of see where you're at. Three ways to help people determine whether they've really heard or not. See, each soil is a test of sorts. So we're going to explore them like really quickly, okay? First, beware of trying to listen with a hardened heart. In other words, beware of listening to the Word of God, the good news, with just simply an intellectual bent. That's verses 4 and 19. See, please just remember, the seed needs to penetrate in order to make a difference. I mean, for many people, they come into contact with God's Word all the time. They've come into contact with it. They perceive the reality, the morality of the faith, or the perfectly coiffed lives of Christians, or they've seen this commercial or that commercial or this ministry or that huge building, right? But it's all remained rather theoretical to them. So the adversary comes and steals it away. Has it gone into the heart? See, this isn't another obligation. It's a response. It's not an organization. It's a personal experience. So think about it for a minute. How does this section actually hit you? Does it wake you up? Do you feel in some way that it's talking to you? Have you ever had the Word of God get into you? Grab you perhaps by the throat? See, you may know it enough to be able to get that little VBS keychain. You may know it so much that you can espouse who Mephibosheth is. But does it know you? Have you let it penetrate you? Second, beware of listening with a shallow heart. This is verses 5 and 6 and 20 and 21. This is a warning against a simple, not just an intellectual reading, that's the first one, but against an emotional reading of the good news and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know that? Well, there are some people I know that get very, very excited about the prospect of good news, about the promise of Jesus Christ, right? But they don't ever feed it with anything substantive, anything deeper. Okay? They don't feed something alongside of that emotive experience. And so the sun rises on the sky of in the sky of their walk. They lack rootedness. They lack depth. They lack deep faith. So their faith gets scorched. And as soon as there were or are tough times or challenging teaching or something that they didn't want to listen to or something they don't really want to talk about or that I don't think that really applies to me anymore, that's some ancient thing, they leave the faith of Jesus Christ. I mean, they never understood. I mean, they got what Jesus has done for them, but they didn't get Christ. They just wanted Christ to serve them. They just wanted Him to improve their life. They were in it for the good feelings and the water turned into wine moments. But as soon as the manna hits the fan, they're gone. They wanted a blesser, not a savior. They wanted a popular moralist. They didn't want a surgeon. They wanted a sugar daddy. They didn't want a spouse. They wanted a service provider. And so that which they really wanted got burned up in the heat. He was never their king. The faith was shallow. Well, third, beware of the divided heart. This is verses 7 and 22. Now, this soil is the most challenging at times because this soil has root. This soil has invested time and talent and service behind it. These people know Christ. They share, but here's the thing, they share control with Him. They share control. Consequently, maybe you've met these people, they're always, always in some sort of doubt. They are always in some sort of struggle. They grew up in the church, but when the thorns get thick, they won't let Christ have lordship of their lives. For instance, they say they're a Christian, but sexually or financially or with alcohol or whatever, they use those things in ways that are incompatible with His calling on life, and so then they don't understand why they're not happy. It's because they're choked. They have one foot in and they have one foot out. They're a follower when the music's good or when the service is good or when the church is growing or the job is good or the relationship is good. But when the kids grow up and they grow old, the church, you know, they just abandon the faith of Christ because it seems incompatible with where they're going. He just doesn't fill me anymore. Well, we all ought to know that there is something wrong when there's no fruit. When there's no change, when there's no joy, when there's no hunger. You have a divided heart. Remember, Jesus isn't trying to augment you. He's not trying to complement your personality. We are sinners in need of forgiveness and change, and that alone creates loving obedience. It's not the soil's job to get rid of the rocks or thorns. That's the gardener's job. And sometimes He does it in ways that He doesn't clear through us. And that's why in this section we have to see Jesus as this wonderfully reckless seed scatterer. I mean, He just keeps working. He just keeps reaching. The grace is never exhausted and the love is never wasted, no matter the soil. So here's the bottom line. Whether you know exactly what it is that you believe, or some nights, some days, some moments, you just don't know. Jesus still scatters the seeds so that forgiveness might finally heal, and so that the changed life of the kingdom might be ours both now and forever. And who knows? Such a love might even make us wonderfully reckless seed scatterers too. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.